Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, professor, author, and healer, Dr. Chris Wagner.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Michael Barnum. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I've been thinking about a few things lately, and I'm excited that our guest today may be just the person that I've been waiting 25 years to ask this question to. So picture this. I don't remember what year ago, whatever, 25 years ago, I was taking a train, I believe it was Germany or Austria, it might have been Austria, to Italy. And we went over the Swiss Alps. And it was a particular train that had all these windows so you could look out onto the Swiss Alps and see. Well, here lies the rub, because this is the problem right here, is because I'm about to try and describe to you, or better yet, I won't. Let me just tell you, they are the Swiss Alps. Snow, mountains and everything, and you take it from there. Because as I was experiencing this, I am a person who likes to share stories, and I am a person who likes to tell others what I've experienced so they can experience things that they may never through my eyes or through my experiences. And I was wondering, how am I going to tell people what I'm experiencing now? It was something I'd never experienced before, and it was bigger, more awesome than I could describe. I didn't have words, and I didn't have, but I was feeling all these emotions that I knew for sure I could not ever put into words to help people understand what this sight was like for me. And so it started this process of thinking. It was about the time that I was going from being an engineer that was taught to look at things mechanically, and this is how things work, and this is how it is, and all that, to opening up my artistic side and my emotional side and my spiritual side and all of that energy and all that stuff. And I was trying to bridge the worlds. And in that moment, I'm sure I wasn't successful. But what happened for sure was that I was enlightened to the fact that the way we live mechanically day to day is almost worlds away from the experiences and what our heart feels, or what is happening beyond what we can brainically, with our brain, put into words or put into an experience that I see. I don't know how to talk about this, so that's why our guests can help me. Please, it's been 25 years. So with that, I'm looking forward to Dr. Chris Wagner being on the show. Well, he's here to talk about this, and a little later on, music by Michael Barnum here live in the studio on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Well, we're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with our co-host Mark Leger. And Mark, you rarely know me to get tongue-tied.
Well, but before we get started, can I look up brainically?
B-R-A?
No, you are not one to get tongue-tied. So lost for words, I think, sets the stage perfectly for this conversation. You know, I was also thinking, because this is a really exciting one for me for various reasons. There's so much that we can talk about, and you certainly opened the door for that in the monologue. But what if, while we're even exploring our conversation today, if we reflected on intelligence, our intelligence, being artificial from a, whoever the creator's perspective is. We talk about artificial intelligence in our world, right? Being made of humans or by humans. But what if what we know to be our natural, you know, derived intelligence is really artificial to some, to at some other level?
Wow.
So with that, so, I'm really excited for tonight's show.
So my artificial brain was going through the Alps and just kind of like,
right.
It just it blew a fuse.
Brainically speaking.
Okay. Well, he is, we're calling our show How to Improve Your Human Condition. Our guest is Dr. Christian Peter Wagner, or Dr. Chris Wagner. He's an educational psychologist in the field specifically of artificial intelligence and other fields, of course, too. He's a co-founder of the Product Development and Manufacturing Center, and he's an author of a couple, several books, but two in particular that we're going to be talking about during the show that are coming out shortly. We're welcoming and happy to have Dr. Chris Wagner on the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's interesting, the example you have started with is probably the fundamental difference between heart and mind. It is the fundamental cause of all religion. You see, it is our birthright. It is our birthright in the human experience that there are times when we can totally shut down our left logical mind.
Mm.
It takes a lot to do that because our mind is designed, our mind is not designed to make us happy. Our mind is designed to help us avoid disasters. So I'm walking along the cliff one day with my buddy, and he slips and falls over the cliff, and I watch him fall down and hit his head, and he's dead. And so my mind says, huh, better not do that.
Mm.
And so that's, our mind is not made for happiness. Our body is, though. The
our
rest
body.
Of our body. Yes. The physiology of our responses, being able to breathe deeply and fully, being able to just feel our muscles as they move. There are, they estimate around 400 billion senses per second that our whole neurological system does. But our left, logical left brain does 2,000. 400 billion, 2,000 in the same time frame.
Wow.
So we are largely animalistic and bodily driven. And yet, we've come into a world, the reason we're a dominant species on the planet is because of our little left brain. Because what it does, it lets me take something out in the real world and put a label on it. We call those labels words. Hmm. And then I use the abbreviation. So to go to your point more specifically, if I found a beautiful ripe orange, I peeled it and I started to eat it, and you have never in your life seen one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before I hand it to you, is there anything I can do that's going to help you understand and experience what it's like to actually taste a piece of a ripe orange?
Mm.
Are there any words I can say? Well, it's kind of citrusy like a lemon. You're saying, well, that doesn't tell me anything. It's sweet. Well, that doesn't tell you anything.
Right.
These are all abbreviations.
And orange is the worst one because there's nothing that rhymes with it. So you can't even
you
go there.
That's right. I've made it harder for you as the host. Hard to get the jokes in that way. But see, that's what you experienced. You were there. And so we have created a world for our kids and for ourselves, and it's unfortunate. It's predictable, but it's unfortunate where we have let these word models be primary. They have become the most important thing in our life, and it's partly because of the cell phone. You know, I've got teenage kids, or well, young 20-year-old kids, and what they'll do is they'll sit there and they'll send me a text message when I'm in the next room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to come in and mm-hmm. actually interact with me anymore. They want to send me a text message as if the words on the screen are the same thing as interacting with me.
And probably they're not even using the words. They might even be using just initials.
Exactly, and emoticons and all these other things.
Right.
So what you experienced when you were in the Alps there is you experienced beauty that was so transcendent that your mind became still.
Mm.
This happens to everybody.
Mm.
At some point in their life. We all have those, you know, that moment where like, boy, I'm just in the flow right now. You know, it can happen it's hard to stay in, because usually once you get in that feeling and you're feeling the flow, it's like, whoa, this is so great. I want to stay here. And then you start thinking about it. Mm. Then it goes away. Mm. Because instead of being in the flow, you started to think about the flow. Mm. And that's not the same thing at all.
Mm.
I find that, for example, I used to play racquetball a lot. And I was never great at it, but I would work very hard at it. And if I worked really hard at it for a couple months, I would get to the point where instead of being a game of racquetball, it became a dance. And I would do things that I wouldn't do in an ordinary game. I'd run towards the wall, and I'd leap and put my foot, 3 feet up the wall and push myself even higher. And I couldn't do that unless I was in that state of such such delight of being present. So this is what every religious experience is about. So whether it's the birth of your child, whether it's some deep moment in the among the redwood forests, and suddenly you just, wow, where am I? What's going on? It's those moments where your mind shuts down, and you see, those are the moments that we truly cherish.
Wow.
And all of our education and all of our technology and all of our culture has taken us the opposite direction.
Wow.
This is,
interestingly, too, because I did come to this consciousness, don't try and put this into words, because if you do, you'll remember the words and not this experience.
Yeah. I don't know. You probably, guys may not be old enough yet. I'm older than you guys, but they actually have events in my life where I remember remembering, but I don't remember the event anymore. I remember my story. So this is what happened when I was 8 years old and this and this and this, and then we did this and this. But if I close my eyes, I can't see it anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
the story becomes the thing.
The story becomes the thing rather than the actual experience.
To me, that's kind of like artificial. Is that artificial intelligence?
Artificial intelligence is my research area. It's one of the reasons I'm so philosophical in life. Besides having these experiences of divine presence, but just the question of how do you take what's up in our head and put it in a computer, and ask ourselves, is there anything we can't put in a computer? So the focus on artificial intelligence, it's not necessarily constrained just to words. Because I can put a video camera, on an artificial intelligence, and it can see the images. Not the same way you and I do, but it sees them. Mm-hmm. And I can give it two cameras, so it's got stereo vision. I can give it microphones, so it can hear what's going on. And what's interesting, I can even give it sensors that people cannot sense. I could give it a seismic sensor so it could measure vibrations in the ground. Oh. That's not something you and I can
do. It's like artificial awareness.
Yeah. Well, see, now that's the good question. You just switch terms, artificial intelligence to artificial awareness.
Yeah.
And see, then the question comes up, all right, what is awareness?
Mm.
There's this fantastic bunch of philosophers, and they have this this image about the participatory anthropomorphic principle. I didn't make up those words. Okay. I don't believe in making up words that complicated. But they said, think about how odd it is. If you want to say, I don't believe in God at all, I just believe in the universe and the forces of nature and stuff like that. Then, okay, that means that just because of chemical reactions among things that are kind of random and taking place on this planet, well then, okay, somehow a bunch of random chemicals got together to make the first little bit of DNA. And okay, DNA because of shape was self-replicating. And then the DNA was years and decades and eons and millions of years. And the DNA got more and more complex and more and more complex and more and more complex. And it's the DNA who started being a program to develop life forms. It's the life forms started getting more and more complex. But isn't it astounding that that chemical, physical process would lead to the creation of an organism like you and me that actually can observe and understand the very universe that created it. Mm. So you got created by the universe, let's say, and then as you grew up, you started to understand the universe. So there are actually some philosophers that say life is everywhere in the universe, because the universe wouldn't even exist unless there was somebody there to participate with it and observe it.
I love it how he says something like this and then he laughs. And then there's that. Well, I have a feeling there'll be a lot of those kind of moments as we move along here. When we come back, I'd like to explore more of this artificial intelligence with our guest, Dr. Chris Wagner, and a little later on, live music here in the studio by Michael Barnum, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere and our guest, Dr. Chris Wagner. He's a professor, he's an author, he's a healer, and he's an engineer and a scientist. And we've been talking about so many things, but artificial intelligence is where we left off. And so when we were talking about there's an experience, and then we put the experience into words, I was trying to make the connection. Obviously, artificial intelligence refers to putting this information in a physical computer. But in a sense, are we putting it into our physical computer in our brain, saying, okay, so now that's the experience. But when we draw back to those words, it's not the experience.
No, it's not. And it's interesting because, you know, here in Hollywood area, in L.A. area, there's so many such movie creation that's gone on. And
right.
when everybody's seen the movie The Matrix,
right.
which question, could reality be just the drip feeding into our neural system from some large computer somewhere? And and then it's funny, then we see all the young kids that are gaming and they're putting their Oculus Rift glasses on and their headphones on
right.
and they're watching the video games and I'm sitting there. Well, that's a lot closer to being the Matrix than I would like. But no, I tell you guys, we're in for such a giant shift. There is not, in my judgment, in the history of humanity been a shift as big as what's happening. In the 1800s, men and women were not equal. And it was very simple why. Because men were stronger. Mm. And muscles mattered. So we have an experience in our recent history. The Industrial Revolution came around, and suddenly we had fractional horsepower engines. I can put a motor in my toothbrush. I can put it in the blender in my kitchen, and suddenly, because now a woman can push a button as well as a man can push a button, suddenly the whole issue of human rights and equality was possible. It wasn't even possible before the Industrial Revolution. Before the Industrial Revolution, we each had like our role, and I don't want to judge them good or bad. That's just the way they were. And so think about it. Since the middle of the 1800s, it's no longer of value to be really strong for the average person. Oh, I mean, maybe if you're an NFL quarterback or something, but for the average man and the average woman, it doesn't matter how strong you are. What's going to happen with artificial intelligence? When I have artificial intelligence sitting in my cell phone in my pocket and it's listening to my life all the time, and when I leave the show, it pops up and says, hey, Chris, you really should have said this other thing and this other. Why did you forget to do this? Because it's going to understand what I'm doing.
Wow. That's your wife in your pocket.
My wife in my pocket. Exactly. I think she's going to program it. But what's going to happen is people who are more intelligent may no longer have an advantage.
Oh.
So you want to go out and invest in the stock market because you're really brilliant about mathematics and you understand all that stuff. And me, I pull up my stock market program. And so now you don't have a big advantage over me.
Hmm.
And then the other piece, when we merge the industrial revolution with the intelligence, and we're already seeing it, Google self-driving cars, you know, how many years is it going to be before there's no more long-distance truckers? Instead, every truck is run by a computer it never gets drunk, it never gets tired, it never gets whatever. It's always goes 50 miles an hour because it can go 24/7, so it doesn't have to stop for breaks and stop to go to the bathroom. And so suddenly, gas mileage goes down, efficiency is improved, reliability is up, except now we don't have any jobs for long-distance truckers. And then it's going to happen to our fleets in the home, and we all think we like to drive cars, but I think that's going to be an aberration. And in 100 years from now, we're going to say, why did people like to drive cars? I like to just, you know, push the button and the Uber shows up at my door. I hop in and I put my laptop up and I start in my work and I listen to the music and do that while I'm going to work. And I'll sit there and say, you know, 100 years from now, I'll say, why would anybody not want that? So we are heading towards shifts where they're going to fundamentally alter our cultures worldwide. And I have no idea where it's going to take it.
Well, if you don't have any idea, then who does? Do you have a vision that you think is beyond what people are thinking right now? Well, because here's my theory. In the 1800s, what also was different was people didn't know that these kind of big changes were possible. So, but now we know things are changing, so we're thinking, oh, things are going to change. But can things possibly be there you go. You blow my mind again. Can things possibly change so much that we still haven't, we're not thinking how much they could change?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, think all the things that are on the horizon, genetically encoded drugs, so that I don't go buy an aspirin anymore. They take my DNA and they custom make for me in the pharmacy a particular, you know, medicine that is directly coded for my DNA pattern. I mean, we might be able to live to be 500 years old.
Well,
I'm not sure we'd want to, but we might, you know. So there's so many things on the horizon and we don't know what's real and what's not because we all have good imaginations. There's an interesting thing that I discovered many years ago in my students. I found that they believed that just because they could hold an idea in their head, they thought it must be possible. Okay. Now, that's an interesting question. If I took a quarter out of my pocket, if you ever looked at a quarter, it's got a rounded edge on it. If I took a quarter out of my pocket and flipped it in the air and had it land on a hard surface like this table here, would it ever be possible for that quarter to bounce around and actually come to a rest directly on edge? And most people think, well, I can think about it, so I guess it must be possible. I don't know if that's true. I can think about time travel, about going back and seeing the dinosaurs. Just because I can think it, does that mean it's true? So we're in a place where the number of ideas that are flooding us every day is staggering. Wow. And the young kids, you know, they talk about the millennials, the young kids growing up now. Can you imagine what it's like for them? They have more information at the age of 6 than I did when I was 25. You know, it's stunning, and they're trying to figure out how to put it all together and understand it. And they see great inequities of wealth and power and health and everything around the world. And why is this person, you know, in the middle of sub-Saharan Africa, a 5-year-old with a machine gun in his hand, and yet I'm in the middle of Malibu playing a soccer game? I mean, they don't get it. And
they think about this.
All the technology. Oh, they They're thinking about everything because they're exposed to it. I'm not sure they're thinking about it intelligently, but they're exposed to it, and we never were in years before.
Wow.
But you see, this brings up the real key point, though. If we invented cold fusion tomorrow and we had unlimited energy in your house, you know, buy my little unit for $20 and put it here, and you have all the power your house would ever need. If we invented it tomorrow, I don't think it would change the world very much if we keep using our technology with the same low level of consciousness that we are now using. I personally believe it's an evolutionary shift that's taking place. Because
when there's a scientist talking.
The scientist talking. Wow. Because when we were little amoebas once upon a time, and there's only one piece of food, well, here's this amoeba coming on. Whoever gets to the food first gets to eat it and gets to live.
Right.
And the other one dies. So there was competition, survival of the fittest. That was the nature of the genetic algorithm. But you know what? We're almost at the point where we're past that. And, you know, I ask my students, I've got a glass of water in my hand, and I'll ask my students, how many people in the world had to conspire together to put this glass in my hand? And what's interesting about it is you say, okay, to make the glass, okay, we had to get the sand. So we had to get sand somewhere. This is molded. Okay, so we had to have metal to get the metal. Well, that means we had to have somebody dig some ore. Oh, well, to dig the ore, we had to have the machines that dug the ore. Oh, and we had to have the people that were trained to use the machines that dug the ore. Oh, but that means we had to have the doctors to treat the people who got sick while they were in the mines digging the ore. And that means we had to have the babysitters and the educators for the kids of the people who were down in the mine who got sick. And by the time you think about what it really takes to just make this one simple household item, and of course, all that requires that there's a power grid and the power grid, and then we had to have, it's like you say, whoa. We are truly, in ways that most people never think about, we are so intertwined with each other. There's a great line in one of my favorite books is called A Course in Miracles. And I heard on your promo there that Marianne Williams has been here. Yeah. Marianne Williams used to be the pastor of my church.
Ah, that's right. And you're a pastor too.
Yes, I am. But Marianne Williamson was the pastor in Detroit area. And she, for many years, I would go to listen to her. But one of her favorite books is A Course in Miracles. And one of the things A Course in Miracles says is that either we're all saved or none of us are saved. And it says there is one child of God. You know, I'm not even that religious, except all the work I do points to forces that are so grand and so beyond anything that our minds can handle that, okay, call it what you want. Call it the forces of nature. Call it the force. We'll be on Star Wars. Call it the force. That's good with me. Call it God. Okay, I'll buy that. But there's so much more order and connection and interconnectivity and support. They now know that there is more DNA in my physical body that's not mine than there is that is mine. I have so many bacteria, fungus, everything that's throughout my whole body. It's how I digest. My body doesn't digest. I got little critters inside me that digest. And you start saying, oh, gosh, we really are kind of intertwined. And that's the piece we're missing as people. This is what we've got to do when we go to that next level. We got to say, we're not in competition anymore. You know, and the phrase I've heard sometimes said is, you know, it's not me anymore, it's we. And, okay, it's a cute buzz phrase, but you know, what's that really mean?
It takes a village to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking Amastiba, the amoeba in me recognizes the amoeba in you. Anyway, so.
I like that.
when we come back, you're the perfect person to be having this conversation, many conversations with, because you have, like earlier we said, this is a scientist talking, and obviously you speak like a scientist. And you have had some spiritual, otherworldly kind of experiences. And so within you, not only are those amoebas, but some kind of a bridge between these two kinds of worlds that I'd like to talk about. And a little later on, we'll also have a few minutes to talk about A View from Peachtree Road, a book that you have coming out, and The Power in You, The Power in You. So if you want to learn more about our guest, go to his website, which is soulengineering.com, soulengineering.com. lifechangesengineering.com. We'll have that listed also on our website at lifechangesnetwork.com. When we come back, more with Dr. Chris Wagner, and a little later on, live music here in the studio by Michael Barnum. All when we come back right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with our co-host Mark Legere and our guest, Dr. Chris Wagner. So here's a scientist who obviously believes in things that currently science doesn't show exists.
Absolutely.
And this comes from experiences you've had since childhood?
Yes. So I don't really take credit for it. It's like the first one I remember happening was when I was 4 years old, and it's happened probably 20 or 30 times since then. If I could control it, I would never be out of this state. Mm. When I was 4 years old, I was sitting there. I was in a city in Kansas, and I was in my living room as a little child, and I was kind of running around and goofing, you know, just as young boys do. And suddenly, the room started to change. And it was, you know, the only way I can describe it.
You were in Kansas. You sure wasn't a hurricane and you ended
right
up
down the street from
I know
green.
This story.
You're right. Oh, and the microphone here is green. Are we in Kansas anymore?
We're not in Kansas anymore, doctor.
And so things started to shift, and it's like somebody put light on in the room when it was dark. Things start to sparkle. The mind starts to meld somehow with the body, and it is just the most sublime and delightful experience that is. Mm. I've never had anything close to it. I feel it is one of the gifts that I've been given by the universe. And if somebody says, hey, your pineal gland shoves out these kind of chemicals at random times, I say, hey, cool, I'm glad I got that, because it's so awesome when it happens. It's happened for as short a time as maybe 10 minutes. One time it happened for almost 8 hours.
And is information coming, or are things more clear, or you just
everything
happy
is clear.
Or what?
Everything is clear. It's funny, in those moments, I have the strong sense that I know the correct answer to every question.
Wow.
So I'm probably totally delusional.
Wow. Well, no,
but actually, it's going to be fun in pre-K.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you still doing this now on occasion?
Yeah, it does. It happened about 3 years ago when I was out in Sedona. I was on a massage table getting a massage. And this, you know, it's such a striking difference. So that in my heart, I know that everything's okay.
Mm.
There's no question in me at all. Oh, I can get wrapped up in the moment and say, oh, bless that guy cut in front of me in traffic, you know, or whatever. I can let myself do that. I'm human. I'm still here. But at the same time that's going on, I'm aware that there's a much deeper place for all of us to be. And that's why I frequently do channeling sessions for people and lead meditation seminars. Because if we get people together, you know, there's that line in the, I think it's in the Bible, whenever two or more of you are gathered in my name, that I will be there, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get a bunch of people, you know, 2, 3, 10, 20, 50, 100, you get them in a room, and then you bring quiet into each of them.
Mm.
You can feel the very character of the room change. It's almost like the atmosphere itself begins to thicken. You can kind of like feel light having weight come inside of you. And you know, I've done this now. I started doing these kind of things almost 20 years ago, and it happens all the time, and it's so straightforward to do that most people don't know how to hold the energy. Because, one thing I wanted to say earlier, you were trying to figure out how to describe the Alps. Mm. You can't do it in words. You know how you can do it?
No.
You take me, you hold the energy. Mm. You just sit there and just remember in your heart the joy it was to see those Alps, to see that power, to see the magnificence of the mountains and the snow and the sun. And you just hold that image.
Wow.
And any of the rest of us just sit next to you quietly. Because we can resonate with you. And when you hold that, now it's beyond words. And so a lot of people they don't feel comfortable with that because it's right. Like, oh no, I got to talk. But you can send that vibration so strongly as long as you can hold it. And this is what I'm convinced all of the grand teachers, Christ Jesus and Muhammad and everyone has all done throughout history. They go into this place and they hold that connection to the divine in their body with such certainty and such strength. And they just sit there and hold it. And by definition, when the people who are nearby are open, then they'll feel that resonant frequency. My guess is someday we'll actually find the frequency levels and we'll be able to see them. I don't know if we can do that yet. I don't think we can. But so there's just so many magnificent things for our human experience. And, you know, we need it now. Mm. I mean, our world, I sat down and wrote a paper about 5 years ago. 5 years ago, in about 10 minutes, I came out with about 11 giant problems. I mean, you know, like running out of food. There's no topsoil left. We've got plastic in the oceans with things the size of North American continent. You know, we've got wars. We've got, yeah.
So, and yet you know everything's going to be okay.
But I know everything's going to be okay. This is always find the interesting thing because so many people will sit there and they'll say, oh, yeah, I believe in the soul. Oh, but somebody died. Oh, my God, it's the most tragic thing in the history of the universe. Somebody died.
That's true.
Well, okay, do you really believe in soul?
Interesting.
Do you really believe? Now, I'm not saying we ever want to have anyone leave before their time or anything like that. But if you really believe in the soul that you repeat and come back and you learn and you advance and that your vibration goes on in other lifetimes and other places, well, then if something happens to me, it's like, oh, boy, I was kind of having fun. What am I going to do next? You know, it's a different perspective on things. And I'll tell you one thing, and this is why a show like yours I find so exciting because, you see, I used to think, what are we going to do about the oceans? They're all filthy. They're filled with plastic. We pollute them every day. And then I realized, wait a minute. All we have to do as a human species is just decide to clean it up. That's all we have to do.
Wow.
We're spending fortunes to watch people bounce basketballs.
Mm.
And nothing against basketball. I love basketball. Mm-hmm. And I love teams and I love rooting for people and all that. But okay, that's all well and good. But what if we took some of the money we were all spending on basketball and we said, how about we create awards for people that find creative ways to help clean out the ocean? And we start building that. I mean, it's like, we just have to decide to make the changes. And I'm sitting there like knocking myself on the head like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why aren't we just deciding that these things are important?
But what if they bounce them really, really well?
I mean, and when you're like a Curry, and when you can do it from such a great distance, absolutely.
Before you were talking about that, you know, you talk about the shift that's happening. It's when you talk about soul, the shift then incorporates, and the innovations incorporate sound and light, right? Isn't that the big awakening that's happening? Is that we're unveiling kind of a grand awareness of sound and light and how we interact?
Well, sound and light and chemistry.
Okay.
You know, they've got supposedly God frequencies. Mm. So if they, you know, bombard your body with just the right frequencies, maybe you go into that state that I've been visiting for years and I was just able to find my way there by accident. Mm. And maybe everybody can get there now. Or maybe we're going to find there's a particular chemical that and I don't mean that in any negative way because, you know, you don't want to have people being addicted to anything. But still, who knows what we're going to be able to find. And light is absolutely Let there be light. That's right out of the, that's out of the Bible, out of Genesis, right? Let there be light. And so,
first
yeah.
words, actually, supposedly.
And then came the bouncy balls.
Well, I have a suggestion. The next time you're in that state, ask if you could make an app that we could have in our pockets every time we want to get in that state. We just go to that app for 99 cents.
You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you next. It's being designed.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I'm
not involved. Well, I'm vaguely involved with, but no, I'm not a prime mover in this at all. One thing I learned a long time ago is everybody should do what they're good at and let the other people do what they're good at. And so there's a team from Australia. They're actually, we're thinking of having a fundraiser at our house in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they actually have an app, and they can measure your, they'll have scientific devices to measure your state of being. And then they'll go and launch the app. That's all I have to do is just turn on. And what it does is it turns it on. It emits certain frequencies. And so then they let you sit there for 5-10 minutes and then take the exact same thing they just measured and come back and measure again. And your stress levels have gone down like 30%.
Wow. You're involved in so many things. We never even got to the books, but thankfully the books aren't even out yet so that we can have you back on to talk about it when they are.
That's fantastic.
People can go to soulengineering.com and find out about this, that, and other things.
Absolutely. And just wait until tomorrow because I broke the website today. But it'll be there tomorrow. Yeah, that would be wonderful because, no, there is such a breadth of what we need to do. And, you know, we got to find ways to hit people down in their gut where they're visceral and they say, yeah, this just feels like the right thing to do. And we got to hit them in a place where they're mentally, where they understand what's the right thing to do. We need to all up our game. We can't have 7 billion people on the planet and have dwindling resources and uncertainty about a lot of things and keep doing things the way we've been doing them. It's exciting to up your game. It's delightful to up your game. Like I got a friend of mine who says there's only 2 things you got to do in life. I really like these 2 things. First thing, you got to figure out how you're going to be causative.
Causative.
So in other words, what are you doing that makes a difference? If you, how is the world different because you're here? If the answer is it's not, then why are you here? And the second part is always keep improving yourself inside.
Amongst everything else you're doing, I think you just coined something, Up Your Game Awards.
I like that. I like that.
I do too.
Good idea.
I can see them on TV, red carpet, the whole thing, honoring the people who have upped their game for their good and the good of the planet and all.
I wonder who will get the Brainicality Award.
Yeah. We can come up with another name, but we'll obviously have to continue this conversation. Thank you for helping raise the human awareness today.
Okay.
As you would say, this has been an absolute pleasure. And so glad that you were able to, both Mark and you, and found each other and were able to make this happen for us here on the Life Changer Show. Thank you, Dr. Chris Wagner. When we come back, live music in studio here at Studio NoHo with Michael Barnum, singer-songwriter, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Chris Wagner. I'm speechless again. I'm Philippe Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lesher, our co-host, and our guest, Dr. Chris Wagner. And joining us in the studio is singer-songwriter Michael Barnum. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
This is an exciting, exciting moment right now for you.
Yeah, it totally is.
Because the universe did something.
Yeah.
And you landed in this studio today when just a few hours ago it was supposed to be somebody else.
I know.
Quote unquote.
What a great segue, right?
Right? Yeah. No such thing as an accident.
Yeah, no, I don't like to question things that happen. So, like, since that happened, I'm just kind of like, okay, just kind of go with the flow. Okay, that's, you know.
And it just happens to be 4 days before you drop your very first record.
I know, isn't that crazy?
And so today is your first radio show and the first time you've sung live on a radio show.
Yeah.
And the first time these songs are presented. I mean, what more can we ask for?
I know. Yeah, totally not nervous at all. Life changes, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Sorry. Well, actually, I'm looking at the numbers and we only have 39 million listeners today, so you don't have to worry.
Okay.
Usually it's 40 million.
Oh, but, wow, okay, great.
So your journey to music, what has it meant to you?
You know, I've been singing since I was 4 years old. I grew up in a household that was, like, my parents played everything from the Bee Gees to Michael Jackson to Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And I was influenced by that so much. I've always known that I've always wanted to perform, whatever that shape is, whether it's, like, with music or acting. Like, I just wanted to perform. I know that's what I'm called in this world to do, and share the gifts that I've been given. And so I kind of recently fell into songwriting about a year ago. I wrote my first song, and I played it for an open mic for the first time. And that moment was pretty incredible because not only was it terrifying to do for the first time, but after I'd finished playing it, people came up and said, thank you, because they were healed by listening to the words and stuff. And it was at that moment that I realized the magnitude that my music could have on an audience, and I just want to do that for the world.
Hear, hear. Well, is the first song you're going to sing Where I've Been?
Yeah, Where I've Been. That's the single.
That's the single.
Yeah.
Well, this is, and actually listening to that song myself a couple times today.
Yeah.
There are words in there that we use for a workshop that we do, the recalibration, where we say, you can't move forward without knowing where you are. You can't know where you are unless you know where you've been.
Yes.
And you say it in different terms. So you're putting out what we share in workshop. You're doing it through music.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for you to share it for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a single. You could pick it up now on iTunes and everywhere music is sold. And then the EP comes out this Friday. So.
Well, this is exciting. So here's Michael Barnum singing Where I've Been live for the first time.
That's right.
On air here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Nowhere left to go. It's never easy. I just wanna be free. Mistakes of the past led me here. Tore myself up because of fear. I only listen to the dark side of me. dragged me down, I've reached the end of it all. Drag me down, there's nowhere left to fall. But I've never made it where I'm going without being where I've been. I would have never made it any further without committing my sins. I've turned around, put trust in myself, and now I'm certain and have to accept that the road I'm on has no end. My nature was disposition to be what it is set to fail. From the very beginning, never wanted more, I just gave in. Making wrong, never being right, I barely lived, never tried to survive. Gave up, settled for barely alive. Drag me down, I've reached the end of it all. Drag me down, there's nowhere left to fall. But I've never made it where I'm going without being where I've been. When I hit rock bottom, it changed my life. On the incomplete darkness did I see the light. But I've never made it where I'm going without being where I've been. Would have never made it any further without committing my sins. I've turned around, put trust in myself, and now I'm certain and have to accept that the road I'm on, and have to accept that
Wow. Awesome. Thank you. Michael Barnum.
That's right.
Where I've Been. Now, that song is officially dropping on Friday of this week.
Yeah, you can get that single now on iTunes. It's available on Amazon and Google Play. But the entire record comes out this Friday, September 30th.
And the record is called?
It's called Trust.
Trust. Aha.
Yeah.
So, everything else about you that people want to learn, they can go to michael-barnum.com,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can pre-order a copy of the EP. I'll sign it for you. I'm on social media, at Barnum Michael with one M. It kind of spells out Barn U Michael, the letter U Michael. And that's the way you can check me out on social media.
Okay, well, and you spelled it that way. I spell it B-A-R-N-U-M.
Uh-huh, that's right. That's right.
Okay, so michael-barnum.com. And on social media, like you said, awesome. I mean, I don't know you personally, but from somebody that could write that at such a young age and express that, I'm proud of you.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I feel, like Dr. Chris Wagner said, everything's going
to
be okay.
I know. Yeah. I felt like he was talking to me when I was over there. I was like,
he was talking to you. Yes. He was talking to all of us.
Yeah, well, I had one of those flow moments during his song.
I'm not surprised.
Where, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where it just kind of...
It was beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. So, will you grace us with another song?
Absolutely,
and
yes.
What's this?
This is Trust. So,
oh, this is the title song.
Yeah, this is the title of that song, and it's also the name of the record.
Right.
So I have time to kind of talk about a little backstory behind it. So the driving force behind the record is called Trust because I've not only made it just... for me to remind myself to trust myself and the work that I do and know that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. But it's also a reminder for anyone else who might be feeling like they might be having doubts or uncertain of their future. Just knowing that everything, like Doctor said, mm-hmm. is going to be okay. So this is Trust.
Oh, it is. All right. Michael Barnum singing Trust here on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo Live.
That I am meant to be on. Questions and answers. What do? Where do I go? Questions and answers. Is this the right move? I don't know. And all the fear and doubt comes creeping in, and I have no control. It keeps coming in and coming in. No, where do I go? I may not know where I'm going or know what lies ahead. It may be unclear or unfinished, but it's my journey to take. There's no need to worry because one thing is for sure. Whether or not I make it, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. Are they right or are they wrong? Should I listen to them going on and on? They say find a stable job, earn enough money to take care of me. They say no, you're not good enough, maybe it's not meant to be. And all the fear and doubt comes creeping in, and I have no control. It keeps coming in and coming in. No, where do I go? I may not know where I'm going or know what lies ahead. It may be unclear or unfinished, but it's my journey to take. There's no need to worry because one thing is for sure. Whether or not I make it, forget the questions. Here are the facts. There is no wrong or right. This is my life, yeah. Certainty is certainty, and this is my artistry. I gotta live my life, live it for me. Put my trust in it. Whatever is meant to be will be. Supposed to be. I'm right where, don't need nobody else but me. Cause I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm right where, yeah. Yeah.
Michael Barnum, you are right where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be right here.
Oh, thank you.
How perfect is that? Synchronicity.
Yeah.
At its finest. Thank you so much. Congratulations
to
you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Album is Trust. That was the title song.
Yep.
And the album is available everywhere where music is sold and at michael-barnum.com.
If you want a signed copy off my website, but the whole album releases on iTunes and everywhere else this Friday, September 3rd. I'm so excited. I can't even.
Well, congratulations and more power
to you. Thank you so much.
And we're excited for you. So looking forward to hearing more great music from you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And a shout out to Amanda Leader-Boudreau.
Yes, Amanda, thank you so much for making this happen. I feel like you were put in this universe so that this could happen. So thank you.
Oh, now you just gave her life meaning.
I know.
Wow. Yes. Okay. So with that, and thank you again to Dr. Chris Wagner. What a pleasure this has been. Wow. Well, on behalf of our studio engineer here, I want to say thank you actually to our studio engineer, Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo, for making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
Hey,
and
thank you.
A big thank you to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio, our program manager. So now on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Leger.
Namasteba.
Namasteba. You remembered the word. Namasteba to you too. I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host. And as your life changes like ours just did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.